morning. If you have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to open to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verse 23 through chapter 3, where there are two passages here that actually deal with the same topic in the you've been with us the last couple of weeks. We've been making our way through the Gospel according to Mark. You'll know that we've been in a section of conflict between the very first verse of chapter 2 all the way through chapter 3, verse 6 this morning. Mark gives us instances where Jesus sort of locks hands with, locks horns with the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his day. And Mark, by showing us these conflicts that these Pharisees, these religious preachers, the differences between that group and Jesus. And by showing us the difference, he's really teaching us about what Jesus' ministry is. He's teaching by contrast. He's saying, this is the way it used to be, and now this is what Jesus is doing differently. We see that because it causes those who are holding the old traditions to be upset. And so we've looked so far at the fact that Jesus has the authority to forgive sins. He told the paralytic his sins are forgiven. He touched that Pharisee. Because they said, only God can do this, and he's claiming to be God. They mocked him for that. We then find out that Jesus welcomes sinners, that his ministry is not to the religious and the upright, the so called temple attenders and the synagogue attenders. Jesus' ministry was to come to the lowest sinners. And they liked that. And of course, we look at the last time at this role of Pharisee. And to the Pharisee, religion was a gloom of religion. It was work hard. Struggle, keep these laws, bear these burdens. And when you do that, you're going to impress God. And Jesus says, no, that's not what my kingdom's about. My kingdom brings joy. It brings deliverance. It brings excitement to those who truly follow me. And so we're seeing that this conflict happens in the course this morning. We see that Jesus points out that, again, the tendency of the Pharisees to take the law, to take these religious regulations, to make them a burden, and say that by keeping these things, we're going to be accepted by God and take the blessing of God, which the law already is, and then turn it into a burden. And Jesus takes that and tells them, no, you missed the whole point. And the problem with you is not a failure to keep the Sabbath. The problem with you is your heart is hardened towards God. You need the new wine. You need the new cloth, as we looked at last week. So let's read our passage. And then let's get started. Mark chapter 2, beginning verse 23. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And he said to them, have you never read what David did? When he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the priests, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand, and they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, come here. And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to heal? And they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieving at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians to teach them how to destroy him. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would bless the word of grace, bless the time as we seek to unfold its meaning for us here today. Lord, I pray that you would help me to communicate the truth to your people who gather here, to those who are not yet in your family. Father, I pray that you would help us to have open ears, receptive hearts, not only to spiritually hear the truth, but Lord, also a desire to put it into practice
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath day to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So what the Pharisees are saying is basically, disciples are working. Pharisees were not, they couldn't accept and just say, you shall not work on the Sabbath. They had to just take it. They had to say, well, we need to draw more detailed rules about how we do that. If we don't have these extra rules to sort of spell it out how it can be done, then somebody might actually work on the Sabbath and do something that violates the law of God. We don't want to happen. That's a little bit of danger in this, right? We ought to always be satisfied with what God says. A lot of times we do this as Christians. We take things that the Scriptures are clear on, but we feel like, well, we need to go up a little extra step and make it a little bit clearer for people. And so we create the extra rules that we Christians will have. And that's what the Pharisees have done. It's why they look at the disciples and say, well, the disciples are actually reaping. That's what they consider them doing. They're working. And what they're doing is they're reaping. That's not lawful on the Sabbath. That's what they're saying. And by connection, Jesus, these are your servants, and you're letting them do it. You're in this field. Notice what Jesus says. Verse 25, he says to them, have you never read? That's an insult. That's like a preacher coming to your house and starts talking to you and say, well, preacher, have you never read the Bible? He's so insulted. He says, have you not read what David did? When he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were there with him. Now, of course, the account that Jesus is referring to here is in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. He is sort of on the run, he doesn't have any food, so he goes up to the temple. You can read these. Let's see here. 1 Samuel 21, verse 1. Then David came to Nob, Ahimelech, the priest, and Ahimelech came to meet David, trembling, and said to him, why are you alone, and no one with you? And David said to Ahimelech, the priest, the king has charged me with a matter, and said to me, let no one know anything of the matter about you which I sent you, and with which I charged you. I have made an appointment with a young man to such and such a place. Now then, what do you have on hand? Basically, what do you have to eat? Give me 5 loaves of bread and whatever is here. And the priest said to David, I have no common bread on hand, but there is holy bread if the young man has kept himself from women. And David answered the priest, truly women have been kept from us. As always, when I go on an expedition, the vessels of the young men are holy, even if it is an ordinary journey. How much more today will their vessels be holy? So the priest gave him the holy bread, for there was no bread but the bread of the presence, which is removed from before the Lord to be replaced by hot bread on the day that he's taken away. So the key here is to understand this presence, the bread of the presence. And what this was is there were 12 loaves that were baked once a week. And on the Sabbath, these 12 loaves would be brought in and set on a golden table. And the 12 loaves of bread each represented a tribe from Israel. And the symbol was that all the people of Israel should be in fellowship with God. And so those loaves would sit there before God's presence so that he could look on them. And it was forbidden for anyone except the priest to eat that bread because it was holy bread. You eat it, you're going to die. But what Jesus said, have you not read this account? David wasn't a priest. And when he was hungry, the priest gave to David bread that he really should not have eaten. And Jesus basically saying, if David could do that, how much more can I, since I'm greater than David, look at the disciples in this place? He's basically saying, listen, I'll interpret what laws apply. The laws that you created aren't really what the law's about. These are man-made regulations. And because I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, because I'm the one that instituted the Sabbath, I will decide whether your rules are really genuine rules that ought to be followed, or whether they're simply man-made. Jesus makes that statement there in verse 27. He says, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is the Lord, even over the Sabbath, more than means to be followed. He determines what happens on the Sabbath. And because he's the Lord of man for which he was made. So what Jesus is trying to show these Pharisees is, first of all, this law that you've made is not real. It's not a legitimate law. And I know that because I'm the Lord of Sabbath. And I rightly interpret what God intended. what he's trying to tell them, and says, this is where you got it wrong. You're talking to the Sabbath, which was a blessing God gave to man. 6 days to work, but I'm going to provide a day where you don't labor, where you can rest, where you can relax, where you can recover from those 6 days of work. It's a blessing that God gave to mankind. And then what these Pharisees have done is they so regulate, they say so many laws that you have to keep, that instead of being a blessing, it's a burden. Because they're constantly sitting around worrying, okay, well, if I walk too far, if you can only walk so far on the Sabbath, you take an extra step and you've broken the law, or if you threw something up with one hand, you couldn't catch it with the same hand because that was work. If you were a sower, you couldn't have a needle in your pocket. You couldn't drag a chair across the ground or have seed in your pocket because you might be planting. But all these rules and regulations. And Jesus said, you're making the Sabbath more important than mankind. That's why he is listening. The Sabbath was created for man, not man for the Sabbath. God didn't say, oh, I want to create a Sabbath law. And so what we'll do is we'll create mankind so that we'll keep his rules. That's wicked thinking. That makes God out to be just some kind of killjoy up in heaven. That many people do. And that's because of people like theirs. We forget the ministry of meeting is more important than the ministry of ceremony. And Jesus said, just because when David was hungry, they set aside ceremony to meet the need of the ministry. And the same as you here, we're setting aside ceremony to make sure my son is saved. And I have the authority to do that. And so he says, what's the point for us today? I can just see that even though we Christians are obligated to keep the Sabbath by what it is kind of work, I do think that there is a principle here that we were created to rest one day a week. When we look around American society and see how busy people are, and see how many stress our relationships are stressed, when we see how many problems that we have even in our own lives, most of this comes because we're running the rat race. And the thing about the rat race is even if you win, you're still a rat. And there's some wisdom to what God's saying is that, listen, there needs to be a day in your week. It really doesn't matter what day. It's not what's important. The idea is that we were created for this cycle of working and rest. And when we don't take that cycle, what we're saying is we don't need the provision God's made. And that's the evidence of pride in our life. And so I think what we take away from this is that we should use a Sabbath day, a Sabbath principle, and we should use it as a day of rest. I think that would deal with a lot of the stress and problems that we face. You know, that's exactly what Jesus is pointing out. The Sabbath was made for us, not us, for the Sabbath. Secondly, we see in this conflict about the Sabbath that we are to use the Sabbath as a day to do good. As a day to do good. Notice the second passage, beginning in verse 1, beginning on another occasion, Jesus enters into the synagogue, which is sort of their place of worship. It's not the temple, but it's a meeting place where they would come together, they would read the law of God, and they would discuss it and apply to their lives. So he enters the synagogue, and there's a man in the synagogue that's got a withered hand. And the Pharisees are watching Jesus, verse 2, to see whether he would heal this man on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. So they really didn't come to church for the right reason themselves. You know, they're there to try to catch Jesus in some kind of act to bring some accusation against him. Verse 3 says, and he said to the man with the withered hand, he said, come here. And he said to him, to the Pharisees, basically, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to heal? And I'll give you two phrases, but they were to heal. Now, of course, think about that. First of all, we know it's never right to do harm or to heal, right? So we would know that on the Sabbath day, you shouldn't do harm or kill anyone. But the earlier question really tracks it. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to heal and to heal? Now, of course, the Pharisees were okay with healing the people who had a problem with. But because their religion, their ceremony was more important than people, they didn't want Jesus to heal this man with their hand. What they said is that if a person's life was in danger, then you can perform the healing on the Sabbath. But if that injury or problem would not, if they could survive till the next day, basically this past Sunday, then you ought to wait on that healing and do it. think what Mark's trying to tell us is to show you the heartlessness of this system. And if people are not what's important to them, it's the rule and the regulations. And my fear is that sometimes if people become religious, if they find themselves in religion more and more as the years pass by, that can often become our own attitude. And that we become more concerned with maintaining our traditions, maintaining the outward ceremonies. Sometimes we let those traditions and ceremonies become more important than the hurting people of this world. And Jesus points it out and says afterwards they're silent. And Jesus looks around verse 5 and deals with anger. He's angry. He is grieved at their hardness of heart. Because they don't have any sympathy for the wicked man, the man of the wicked man. They're more concerned with their religion and ministry. And interesting enough, it says there, Jesus asked the question in verse 4, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm to save life or to heal? And then in verse 6, it tells that the Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him how to destroy. Good, he heals a man, their response is not true. He puts that in all religious ways. And Jesus asked the question there that, listen, God did not create the Sabbath to try to prevent you from doing good things. That's not considered work. That's considered a blessing. And so that's why I say that we as Christians, even though we're not obligated to keep the Sabbath as a holy day, I think it is wise to use the Sabbath, which we would just say Sunday, as a day to do. Many people neglect the study of Scripture. That's what Sunday is going to be for us. Set aside the study of the things of God, to focus on Christ, to worship Him. And while I'm not advocating, not coming to church as a sinner, making it a regular habit of neglecting a certain day, a specific day that you set aside, not only to rest, but a day to do good. When we fail to do those things, that is a sin. Now, the issue is not whether you do on Sunday or not, but the issue is whether that's a practice in your life, whether there's a day you're sitting aside to rest, and whether there's a day you're sitting aside to focus on doing good. And part of that doing good is fellowship. And part of the doing good is to worship God, to love your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's what Sunday sits aside for. We think of other things of trying to help those who have greater needs. Maybe it's not someone that we would hand that we can restore by speaking to them. But when we look at the needs of those around us, and we seek to go out and help those people, maybe it's some person that's lonely that needs a gift, maybe it's someone that's dealing with disease that needs an encouraging word. There are many ways that we can reach out and do good in serving other people. Now, I want to bring this to a conclusion by asking some of the questions that I asked earlier. Is it a sin to work on Sunday? Is it a sin to cut the grass on Sunday? Is it a sin to eat at a restaurant or pump gas in your car? Well, as I said earlier, those things are the wrong questions. Sunday is not about a day to think about things we can avoid. Sunday is a day to think about things that we're free to do. You ask many people, do you read the Bible daily? When's the last time you read a book to encourage your spiritual life? When's the last time you went out and did to encourage some people? They're always going to say, well, Sam, I would like to, but I'm too busy. But the wisdom of God is that He plans for us to set aside one day a week to focus on resting and focusing on Him and serving other people. And whether you see something on Sunday, which is more easier to do, right, is when we have our service here. And whether you know, because of your job, it's not on Sunday, there's going to be another day where that can happen. Or you should be finding a job where that is. I'm not saying, and I don't believe that we have to keep the Sabbath as a commandment, but I do think that it is a lack of wisdom to neglect the opportunities that God has given us to rest and to do good. You see, how do we know that the Sabbath is no longer being kept? This is probably a question that many of us have. And I think the answer is found in two verses, and I want to close with these. The reason we no longer keep the Sabbath as it was in the Old Testament is because Jesus fulfilled that. The Sabbath was a shadow. It was something pointing forward. We find this in Colossians 2:16, Paul writes, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in question of food or drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Now that you have Christ, you don't need these festivals and moons and food and drink regulations. Those things are pointed to Jesus. If you have Him, you no longer need those regulations. But we Christians, we have Christ, if we trust Him, we don't need a Sabbath. We don't need a new moon or some festival or any kind of food and drink regulations. And I think that this is sort of a more detailed fulfillment in Hebrews 4:9. Because the author of Hebrews is talking about the rest of the people of God. And when we think about the Sabbath, that's exactly what it's set up for. It was set up as a day for physical rest from work, from physical labor. But Jesus says, I've come to fulfill and to bring about a spiritual Sabbath, a spiritual rest. Hebrews 4, verse 9. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Now, of course, he's referring to God's physical action, right? 6 days, God created the world, and on the seventh day, he stopped from his creation. And the writer of Hebrews is saying that Jesus did the same thing for us. What he has done is he's not provided a physical rest, but he's provided a spiritual rest. And he provided the spiritual rest for only certain types of people, a people who have stopped working. Just as God stopped his work. So if you're a Christian this morning, it's only because you have stopped your working, you have stopped your law keeping, and trusted Christ. Trusted his provision and his will that he purchased by putting to death his son, the Lord Jesus, on the cross, and by raising him from the dead. And so because of that, we're not obligated to keep the Sabbath. But my encouragement is, even though it's not a commandment that we have to fear disobeying or obeying, there is wisdom in understanding that we ought to have a day of rest, and understanding that on that day of rest, we ought to seek to do good. We ought to seek to heal. And that involves studying about God, focusing on Him, reflecting on that spiritual rest that God has given us. So that we're no longer obligated to keep these physical laws. So where are you? Do you view Sunday as a day to avoid this? It's okay to do this, but it's not all right to do it after Sunday. It's sort of like my grandfather. And yet he always had a problem with his neighbor cutting his grass, but he had no problem with him working overtime. He on Sunday make a little extra money. You see, that's what it brings about. When we start trying to keep these laws, we apply them to others, and we make exceptions for ourselves. Jesus is no need to do that in regards to faith. All your need and focus should be on is not what, it shouldn't be on what to avoid. It ought to be on this day of relaxation from work. What good am I free of today for God and of faith? Father, we thank you. Lord, something that is often very confusing in the conversation that I have with people is in regards to where does the Sabbath fit in to the Christian life? And Father, you tell us. Father, the Sabbath was created as a blessing. But Lord, and we are called to ignore our need. And Lord, while we understand that it is no longer a commandment that we stand under, that you've removed it to the sending of your Son, that we're simply pointing to Him and the spiritual rest that He will provide by His death and resurrection. Father, I pray that you would help us to see the need to focus on this. That even though it's not a commandment, that we do need a day of rest, that we do have a day that you provide to focus on you, to focus on our relationship with you, to focus on serving and doing good to other people. Well, we know that the essential focus of your relationship with us is what Christ has done. But Father, what Christ has done for us spurs us on, moves us on to focus on how we can now serve you and serve other people. So I pray that you would help us as Christians to think about this, to examine our lives and see whether we may be flippantly approaching the Sabbath rest. And Father, on the other hand, I pray for those who are here, you would have it truly handed in a real Sabbath rest. Father, there's still working. and if they're trying to impress you with their lives and their religion. And Father, I pray you would help them to see that the only way to find true salvation, to find true rest, is to stop the working of God and start